Would you like to tell us your name, Andrew?
Yes, it's William Andrew Easterby.
Where were you born?
I was born in Lancaster Infirmary. But at that point, my parents were living on a very small farm, quite close to where we are now, between Burton and Ingleton, sort of West House area. So that was...
And you grew up around that area, obviously.
Yeah, I grew up, well, the first 8 years I was there with my parents. I had a younger sister came along 3 years later. and then we moved to another farm near Wennington, which was about 3.5 miles away. And I was there probably until I went away to college at age 19.
And before we move on to the other questions about early memories and childhood and so on, where are you living now?
Burton in Lonsdale, just outside Burton in Lonsdale, small village, right on the edge of Yorkshire.
What would you say is your earliest memory?
One memory that I have, I think, was... Well, I believe this is true. When I was in my pram, so I must have been very young, was actually, I was in the pram just outside the house at this small farm, and apparently the brake wasn't on the pram, and I was rocking in it, and the pram ended up going down the driveway towards a stream. And I was told it did actually tip up. I didn't end up in the stream. but I do seem to remember something like that. I do remember the day that my sister was born. I was sitting on the step at the front. Obviously, in those days, fathers weren't sort of encouraged to be at the birth. So I think I was sat there with my father. And there was probably just the district nurse upstairs with my mum. And then suddenly I was told I had a sibling, a sister. And I was thinking, how on earth did she get here? And then later in the day, I was presented back with this little baby. So it was a quite strange event for a little one. I think I was I'd be about 3.5, 4 years old at the time.
So moving on, getting a bit older, what sort of games were you playing as a child?
I think the first 5 years of my life was quite solitary, really. My mum would take me to what she called the clinic, which I suppose was like a... it wasn't really a nursery group. It was something that happened in the at Bentham Town Hall nearby. And so I don't really remember much of that. But when I went to school, I was about 4.5, 5 years old. And then obviously I had friends. And so I suppose games with other people started then, with the usual sort of kids' games like Tig. I remember we had roller skates. That was quite a big thing in those days. So lots of the kids had roller skates and at playtime would hair around the playground on those. And fighting, I seem to remember doing a lot of fighting with the other young lads. All play fighting. There was no sort of fists or anything, but lots of sort of wrestling and messing about like that. And probably other games, like we started to play with football, cricket, things like that, kicking a ball around.
What about your parents? Where did they grow up? Where were they from originally?
My dad grew up on a farm. He was one of three boys and one older sister. This farm was a hill farm right on the edge of, going quite high up on the hill, out of West House, so he hadn't moved very far when he came to that small farm. my mum, she was slightly different. She grew up in the village of Bentham. She had one sister who was 10 years older than her. So she grew up there with a single mother, actually. Her dad had gone. I think he was, at that point, I think he became a Singer sewing machine salesman. This was 1928 when she was born. And I think he was quite a naughty man, went off. He ended up with another woman. I don't think he married, well, I don't know whether he married her or not. I never met him. I never met the granddad at all. And he was, he went to the Manchester area. So that's where my parents were. And I think they met at a dance in Bentham, as people did around that time, and obviously got together.
So going further back, was there a heritage in farming with the grandparents, great-grandparents and so on?
Yeah, I think there was on both sides, certainly on my dad's side. My name's William Andrew Easterby. His name was William Easterby. His dad's was William Easterby. I think as far back as I know, I think most of the sort of firstborn male sons have always been called William Easterby. In fact, our eldest son has William in his name. It's not his first name. So we're carrying on that tradition. So my dad's parents were farmers. On my mum's side, they were also farmers. I think they were probably tenant farmers. And I think they'd left the farm. They were based around Keysden area, which is a sort of very rural part of Yorkshire. It was only about 3 miles away from the centre of Bentham, but they lived on a small farm out there. And I think they were tenant farmers. My mum didn't have any sort of experience of farming, but her mum, my grandma, did. And presumably when my granny got married, that's when they moved into Bentham itself.
How do you think things have changed in that time then? Well, not so far back, but in your living memory, really.
Oh, I think massively, because obviously it was very much simpler times then. And also the fact that people, I think when they were meeting, prospective boyfriends and girlfriends, didn't actually go very far to meet somebody. It was usually, like my parents met at the local dance. So, there certainly wasn't the travel that there is now. So that's one major aspect of it. And probably people's expectations of travelling and meeting people weren't as sophisticated as they are now.
So was your socialisation mainly through school friends at the time?
Yeah.
Would you be going to other people's houses and so on?
Yeah, that's how it was really. We just sort of socialised, with our friends from school. I was in the Cubs at Burton in Lonsdale as well. So obviously that sort of widened the circle of friends that I had. And I suppose, like most people, you have a sort of core group of friends, perhaps 10 or a dozen of people that you know particularly well, and but you did know, on the periphery of that, we did sort of know lots and lots and lots of people.
Yeah. We've seen in our lifetimes a great increase in car ownership. So, did your parents have a car at the time? I guess they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah, I think they had to do because we were so rural. And obviously, being a farmer, my dad had to have some sort of vehicle to take animals to the auction mart. The first vehicle I remember that they had was an old van, an old Austin van, which was, well, to me at that time was big and cavernous and very, very noisy. Particularly remember one journey to Hawes auction mart, and we were taking some calves, and I went with my dad there, and these calves obviously were taken from the mothers, you know, to be sold on to another farmer for them to be raised somewhere else. And the noise they made all the way, and from that point I absolutely hated very loud noises, just because it was so intense, and it was intense for probably about an hour that the journey took. So I was never very keen to go with him on any more journeys to auction marts with calves in that. And after that old van, they got a car, and then he bought a trailer that went on the back of the car. So it was for, obviously, then he could take cows and you know, more sheep to take to the auction.
So to what extent did you go into farming then from that point on?
I'm not really a dyed-in-the-wool farmer. I did it because it was there and because it was expected that, you know, like all farm kids, that you get stuck in and you help on the farm, which I didn't mind. I was quite happy, you know, kicking a football around at a wall when I was smaller, and obviously I was sort of corralled into helping by my dad mainly. So it was, you know, I enjoyed the things like feeding calves, and I enjoyed the sheep, I enjoyed lambing time, and of course I enjoyed driving the tractor. That was something I was really keen on, and I think the first sort of experiences of driving the tractor, I think I was about 8, and I remember, obviously, I'd become proficient enough driving the tractor that my dad let me do chain harrowing, which was basically just dragging the harrow behind the tractor around the fields. And of course, being a young lad, I tried to do it as fast as I could. And luckily, I'm still here to tell the tale. So, I learnt a lot about sort of helping out with most things. Now, I think it actually gave me a good grounding into actually doing practical things. You know, it sounds very basic to say sweeping up and shoveling, of course, which I did a lot of. But there is a sort of art and a technique to doing all these things, which I learnt at an early age. So that's sort of stood me in quite good stead. And also, being a farmer, you end up doing lots of different types of work. So building work, hedging work, walling, all these sort of basic things that farmers do. And then sort of later on, probably in my more sort of late teens, I actually got involved with the finance of it quite a lot. I used to accompany my dad to the accountants. And I was always quite surprised that when I went, well, I didn't realise how much accountants charged at that time, but me and my dad used to go and sit in front of him at his desk. And all they'd seem to do was talk about the weather. And for about the last 10 minutes, the accountant would tell my dad that he'd had quite a reasonable year and he'd made a bit of money. And he said, thank you very much. And presented him with the bill.
But I understand you made the switch more towards horticulture.
I think the gardening part of it came from my mum's side. She was a very keen gardener. and she loved gardens. And so I sort of inherited a love of gardens with her as well. Also growing things from seed, particularly things like lupins, which was always miraculous. I collected the seeds and then sowed them, and I was always amazed to see what colour the flowers were going to be from the seeds, because of course they were never true from the actual plant you took them from. So that was my mum's influence, I think, with that. And then later on, after leaving school, I suppose the point was then that I'd want to go to college and do something. Now, I didn't particularly want to go and do agriculture. So I ended up going to an agricultural college, but I did landscape construction, which then I could then see there was probably more money in doing that. So I became very keen, as probably all the teenagers do, in having money to do things that I enjoyed doing. And money wasn't very forthcoming from our farm anyway, from my dad. I used to get a fiver here and there to go out occasionally. But I thought I wanted to earn some real money, so that was the motivation behind doing something else.
Mm. So that became your business?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I went to college then it was a sandwich course, so I had a pre-year doing practical landscaping work with a landscape contractor. And then I went to college for a year, then I had another practical year in between, and then back to college for the third year. So in which time I was actually earning money when I was working. And in those days, which was 1977 through to 1980, there were grants as well. I did only get a very small grant. But somehow I managed to, me and a bunch of friends from college used to work during weekends, and so I actually managed to fund myself through college. I think the grant I got was about £40 per term, so that didn't go very far in the local bar. so that's when I sort of made a bit of a move away from farming, although the farm was always carrying on. By that time, we had somebody working for us, so that helped my dad out to keep going while I was away at college. And then when I came back from college, I then sort of had a dual role, really, because I started up on my own doing gardening work. We had a land agent that we used to deal with, and he got me lots of work initially, with quite, I was going to say aristocratic, they weren't aristocratic, but they were quite well off people around the area, lots of contacts. So I started working, doing gardening work, but also working on the farm. At that point we had quite a big expansion. We spent quite a lot of money on the farm, putting a new milking parlour in, new silo cubicles, and increasing the herd. So both things were sort of going in tandem. And at that point it was quite successful.
So obviously you're spending a lot of time outdoors. Even now you're still working, because there's a question here about retirement, and so I know you're still very busy.
Yeah.
Looking back, how do you think the weather's been changing over the years? Are you conscious of that?
Probably only within the last perhaps 10 years. I think seasons have sort of been getting, just been changing. I think we get warmer weather later on in the season, or we tend to do now, than we used to do. And also warmer weather, pre-spring, perhaps March. March can often be quite a warm month. But it's all very variable. One thing I have noticed, we get more sort of torrential rain in downpours now than we ever seem to do before. And often it can be very wet as well. Long periods of constant rain, which at the moment seems a bit strange when the south's completely dry, bone dry, and has been for a long time. But here up in the northwest, we've probably had about the normal amount of rainfall that we would get in any other year. So yeah, I think there are subtle changes that I'm certainly aware of. I think also as you get older, you're more aware of the weather, because you're probably more sensible and you're thinking ahead about how you're going to dress for the day. Than you are when you're young. You just sort of go out and get on with it, and you don't mind getting wet.
Have you noticed any changes in changes in wildlife throughout your life? Any different trends there that you've spotted?
I think there's more variation in wildlife now. I'm not quite sure whether it's just because it is something I'm really interested in, with birds and animals and the natural world. So I'm not sure whether it's just that I'm more aware of it, but I think there's more diversity. But in various years, I have noticed, some years there are more butterflies around and other years less. I think this year has been a year where there seem to have been less around. But I'm very interested in that part of, the countryside. And on the farm, we've planted quite a lot of trees. And obviously with the gardening, I tend to try and steer people towards having a fairly diverse garden. I always tell my clients now that my gardening style is much more Monty Don than Percy Thrower. So
what's your view on rewilding then?
I think it's got a place. I don't think it's the total answer. I don't think you can rewild everything, but certainly in certain areas can be rewilded. I'm very much into that, the whole ecology of an area or areas, and of course that leads on to global warming and aspects of that, which I'm obviously quite worried about for my children and then generations after them. Very much into renewables and that side of technology.
Are you into any local traditions and celebrations?
Traditions, I'm into Hedge Lane, I like. which is part of my job, from time to time. So we've, on the farm, I think we've laid every hedge at least once on the farm. But it's something I quite enjoy doing. I quite like the sort of change in seasons, and obviously then the change of work that you do in those seasons. Celebrations. When I was younger, certainly I suppose religion played more of a part in my life than it does now. Harvest festivals were always something that we attended. On my mum's side, she was a Sunday school teacher from a sort of Methodist background. So I think until well, I can't remember when I started, probably 6 or 7 till about the age of 12. I went to Sunday school, and then of course that drops off, and it tends to be very much now the sort of religion part of it. It's just christenings, weddings and funerals, really, for that. Other celebrations, village events, we go to and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Sports, relaxation,
sports, hobbies. Yeah, sports. I suppose my main sport now is running. I think when I was at college, I've always been into football. I've never played it, particularly well, but just always enjoyed it. I suppose the main sport I did from about the age of, from the age of about 12 was badminton. I did join the local badminton club in Bentham. Probably when I was about 12. And that was my mum's influence as well. She'd played. Badminton right up till in my 30s. And then the club sort of dissolved and we moved house and moved a few miles away. And then I suppose after badminton, then the local Keep Fit group, went to that, which was once a week for probably about 7 or 8 years, 9 years. So I've always been interested in keeping fit and health-wise. Then that dissolved a few years ago, and in conjunction with that, I do running. I belong to a running club, so we meet twice a week with other races, usually at the weekend. I've just tried to keep up a fairly general level of fitness over that time.
What about food, cuisine, that sort of thing?
Growing up when I was young, like everybody, I suppose we had a fairly basic diet, which was obviously a very good diet. My mum was a really good baker, so she used to bake lots of biscuits and cakes and things like that. And also, very, very nice dinners that we had. And things like, I suppose, in those days, spaghetti came out of a tin. It was spaghetti hoops or something like that. Curry came in a tin as well. There were Vesta curries. And they were, of course, very exotic. But as time goes on and you become the adult and you're going out to restaurants and things more often, and I have a much, much more diverse diet now than I did in the past. My wife is half Nigerian, so there is an influence there. She's a really, really good cook as well, and she enjoys, we enjoy lots of Indian food and Italian food, French food, certainly more diverse now than it was.
Where did you meet your wife?
She came to cut my hair, amazingly. Which is very strange. I first clapped eyes on her in the 1980s. She was obviously going out with somebody else, and I was living with somebody else as well at the time. We just sort of exchanged pleasantries, said hello and smiled, and that was that. And I never saw her again until relationships, both our previous relationships had broken down, and Claire was working as a mobile hairdresser, and a mutual friend of ours, I think was matchmaking, and he was saying to me, "Oh, you ought to get Claire to come and cut your hair," because I think I was a bit scruffy at that point. And I think he was priming her, saying, "Oh, there's this chap Andrew Easterby. Oh, he's done this and that and the other." So anyway, I met her at a function in Bentham, and I plucked up courage to ask her to dance. So yeah, she said yes. So we had a dance.
Okay, so we're going to do now a series of dialect type things. One is a series of picture prompts.
Okay.
So I'm going to show you these pictures, and I want you to tell me what you call these that you see. So, what do you call this creature?
A hedgehog.
What do you call these?
Daddy long legs.
What about that?
Oh, gosh, I'm not quite sure what it is. It could be an earwig, but I'm sure it's not. But anyway, I'll go with earwig.
Do you know what you call this type of garden weed?
Oh yeah, that's goose. I call it goose grass. Also sticky willy. That's another one. There are cleavers, I think. Is it cleavers? I'm not sure. Anyway, certainly goosegrass.
This is a drop of...
dew.
This is a bag of...
sweets. I call them sweets.
What do you call one of these?
Well, it's bread. It's not a croissant, really. It's I've forgotten the name of it.
Yeah, people have different names, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you call these?
Oh, that's... I call them scones.
Oh. How many are on the picture? Not one or two, but...
three. Is that correct? Thank goodness I can count.
What is your name for... excuse me. What is your name for those?
Spring onions.
What is this?
Seesaw.
What is this?
A couple. Possibly girlfriend and boyfriend.
And what is the action?
Enjoying themselves, cuddling.
Specifically with his positioning on her, I suppose.
Oh, piggyback.
Okay. That was number 14. Okay. That's the end of that first part. And then... there's a couple of these, if you can do so. Complete the sentence by selecting the word that goes there from the list below. He asked me to fix it and something. No way. Do it yourself.
Hmm.
What would you say is that missing phrase?
I said.
Thank you.
Quite old-fashioned.
And similarly for this one, complete the sentence again. The food was... something tasty. Which of those would you use?
Very.
Very, thank you. Romping through these. Okay. Just a series of questions now for the words that you may use here. What do you call in a room? What do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Either a kitchen or a larder.
If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel
weak, faint,
any
hungry.
Okay. What words do you use for something to eat?
Food.
What do you call a coffee you might get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
Latte.
What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches?
Butter.
Which word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points cannot be scored?
Time out.
If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be
grazed.
If you got covered in dirt at the playground, when you got home, you might need to get in the
bath.
When children are very excited, you might say they are full of
fun.
At the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you're absolutely
knackered.
Which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Absent or bunking off.
Sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person?
I don't know. It's never happened to me, but maybe you could say the child catcher.
You grow crops and raise animals on a
farm.
When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in
dew. Damp.
I suppose it means the stuff from the ground. What would you call that? Rather than just the wetness there. When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are
slippy.
Which word do you use as a term of endearment, even with strangers?
I don't think I do. I wouldn't say love. I wouldn't say dear.
You may not do that.
I don't think I do.
Fair enough.
I would call them by the name, by the first name.
Which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
Good looking.
What is your word for spreading rumours?
Innuendo. Sticky beak's another one, I think. Interesting one.
A picture not hanging straight is hanging
skew-iff.
What do you call a very small piece of wood that has got into your finger?
Spell.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
Do you have any other words you'd like to tell us about? Any words that you might use or you've heard use that are interesting?
I'm just trying to think with crafts and things that I'm involved with, like walling and hedging. Stones that when you wall in, stones that you would put that go right through the wall are known as throughs. Stones on the capping stones, you would call them top stones. What else?
Any other words from your horticulture side of things?
Yeah. It's all fairly boring, probably. Forks, spades, rakes. Any
words for the plants, or any particular plants or things, maybe? I don't know, I'm just thinking.
There are different words for, I think they're called, I think there's Yorkshire fog is a particular grass that's difficult to get rid of. I just can't think of any just at the moment.
That's fine. Lovely, thank you.
Right, so we'd like to close out the interview now and just say that the interviewers were David Owen and David Jackson. Thank you very much, Andrew. That was absolutely fabulous.
And the date as well.
And the date is the 8th of August, 2022. And the sun is beginning to shine.
Thank you
very much. And it's recorded at Burton in Lonsdale.
Correct. Okay.
Thank you.